Good morning. Great to see you. Before we get into the preach, I just want to remind you, if you was here last week, you would have heard Joe talk about our Vision Sunday. It's not Sunday, Vision Night, Thursday the 30th of January, 7:30 here. And we want as many people here as possible. This is such a significant moment. I know sometimes you think, oh, I've been in church many years, and I've heard that comment many times. Well, in the 3 years that I've been here, me and Jenny have been here, this is the most significant piece of news and information of where God is taking us. So we want as many people here as possible. If you consider Grace Church your home, you really have to be here. And last week, Joe said, we want someone from every household to be here, because obviously childcare is an issue for some of us. And so we recognise not everyone can be here. But let me just add a little bit to that. That's not a reason for only one of you to come. If you can be here, honestly, I really want you to be here. It's going to be such a significant moment. God is alive. He's at work. He's speaking to us. He's on the move. We've heard some stuff already, haven't we, this morning? And so I'm going to talk on the subject of prayer. And it's not just on the back of what Ashley said about tonight, because we do want you to come and pray. We love it when we pray together. And I think, like prayer, if there's two subjects, right, that give us the most, make us feel a little bit guilty or give us think, oh, not again, is probably prayer and evangelism. The two things we think, oh, if you're a follower of Jesus, that's the most, probably the trickiest one to navigate, perhaps. And we're going to look at prayer because it's a little bit easier than evangelism. No, that's not quite true. I don't know if you've been around a long time. There are so many books on prayer. If you're a reader of Christian books, and I hope you are, I'm sure you've all read a book or two on prayer. I've read a number of books on prayer over the years and enjoyed them and largely agreed with them. I even felt I've received revelation on prayer. I've been to conferences on prayer. I've completed the prayer course. And even knew most of the answers before he gave us the answers to the course. But all of that doesn't mean I pray. You know that, right? And even this, I know the best thing for me ever is pray. But that still doesn't mean I pray. Martin Lloyd-Jones, you might have heard of him. A great preacher from, it feels odd saying it, from the middle of the last century, which some of us remember pretty well. He wrote loads and loads of books. He's seen as one of the great theologians of his time and beyond. And, you know, just one of the big men of God, theologians. And impacted so many lives. He wrote loads of books. But he never wrote a book on prayer. Because, he said, of his personal inadequacy on the subject. So you and I are in good company. We don't need to beat ourselves up. We're in good company. And my experience is this. I love praying. And sometimes I like praying. And other times, well, I get it done. And then other times, it's a struggle. Do we all sort of have a bit of those things going on? I reckon we probably do. But prayer is at the heartbeat of the Christian life. Prayer is faith becoming audible. Prayer is the gateway to deep change in our lives. Not only our lives, in the places where we reside, the streets we live in, the towns we live in, the nation and the nations. Prayer matters. It's where we have communion with God. We understand God more deeply and understand ourselves more. And where we fit in, we find out where we fit into God's story. Prayer is the key to everything we need to do and be in our lives. And I don't know if you, some of you go back many, many years, some less. Our life in God, our salvation, started in prayer. When we spoke to God, we was talking to God. Almost certainly, even before we become a Christian, there were moments, God, are you real? We're talking to God. And my prayer for this morning, for me as much as you, but certainly for you as well, is that we have a growing desire to pray. A growing desire to get caught up in the things God is doing, where we get to know him more. And you, as I said just now, you know it all started in prayer, right? Your first encounter with God was through prayer. You prayed. You spoke to God. You communed with God. And of course, it was God drawing you close to Him. He was the one who drew you in. He is the one who wooed you. But the journey started, your journey started through prayer. And that is the lifeblood of the Christian life. And I know many of you, some of you, I've told you this story, but I think it's applicable, so you're going to get it again. And when I got saved in 1984, I was at a prayer meeting. A prayer meeting. A friend took me to church in the morning, and something like this, sort of church, but a lot smaller. And I thought, this is amazing. It sort of blew me away. These people were lovely, wonderful, just like you lot, kind. I thought, that's not what I'm used to. And I went in the evening. That was in the morning. I went in the evening. I said to my mate, can I come tonight? He went, yeah, of course you can. This is the guy who took me to church. And I got in there. There's 10 or 12 people in the room. And I prayed this prayer. God, if you're real, I want someone to get up to me right now. I didn't say it out loud, obviously, because that would have been a bit of a giveaway. And with that, someone got up and come over to me, and that was when I got saved. And then a few weeks later, 3 or 4 weeks later, they told me a little bit in the Bible about you need to get baptized, and I was all in. I'll get baptized, I said, I want that. And so you haven't heard this part of the story. And so I get baptized, and there was this older lady, you know, I don't know how old, in us, but I've got to be careful now, haven't I? She was just an older lady. Let's leave it there. Her name was Dora. That might help you. I don't know. Anyway, I get baptized under the water, back up, like, wow, this is amazing. And then she read these verses over me. She said, Colossians 1, verses 9 to 12. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. Amazing verses. Beautiful verses. We could be here for weeks, couldn't we, just on these verses. But think of it, a roofer 3 weeks into Christianity. I didn't know what she was talking about. So I said, what was that about? She said, God gave me this scripture for you, because we have been praying for you. So my mate who brought me to church, he told these others, I've got some mates who are interested. Can we pray? And Dora prayed, amongst others. But also, the guy who used to take me to football training, Cyril, he prayed for me because he was a Christian. And the guy who took me to church, Steve, he'd been praying for me. And so, yeah, you had to hear it twice, maybe three times, the bit about the prayer meeting. But God answers prayer. Amen. What an amazing thing. You and I, we're in this room because someone prayed for you. Someone prayed for you. What a story. You have got and I've got. And I love the prayers of the Bible. Of course, we could stay in those verses in Colossians. I love the prayers of the Bible. Paul, when he's, you know, often at the beginning of one of his letters, he says stuff. And you think, wow, I want that. And he's praying this for the church. And Philippians 1, 9 to 11. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Ephesians 1, 16 to 21. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Ashley said, as leaders we pray. Now, they're not as bold as this often, but we're praying. We're praying for you. Paul writes this stuff. I keep asking that God, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but the one to come. Paul praying these massive, huge prayers over the early church. And I love the book of Psalms, the inspired prayer book for the church, filled with such range of emotions, and that the cry of our heart in almost any experience we're facing, any situation we're facing, is right there. Prayer is all over the Bible. And when I was thinking about this, where do I go with this? And there are loads of options. But I couldn't get away from thinking about the Lord's Prayer, where we actually get instruction from Jesus. This is how to pray. And it's not meant to be a passage just to recite. And if you're of a certain age, Dora's age, that sort of thing, you would have done that in school at certain points in the week, maybe once a week. But it's not the way it's meant to be looked at. It's a structure. The Lord's Prayer has a big effect on the big picture stuff and also the nitty-gritty of your life and mine. Breathtaking moments and the mundane. Awesome moments and the average. And I want to focus on some aspects of the Lord's Prayer this morning. Matthew 6:9 says this, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And it's who we are praying to. This is what's so important. The first thing to notice, who we're praying to. The perfect Heavenly Father. We're coming to this Heavenly Father, the Almighty God, the majestic, awesome God, and your Father and my Father. God who rules and reigns in the heavens. Nothing is impossible for him. He alone sustains you and me. Right now, he gives you your very breath and mine. The world continues by the word of his power. And so I want to remind myself when I come to pray, this is who I'm coming to. Tonight, that's who we're coming to. Making sure I don't have a small perspective. You know, if you do come tonight, it's going to be great. I know you can't all come, but if you can, come along. But we come along and we get this moment where we get a bigger perspective. I'm not just praying for a parking spot. I'm coming to the Almighty God who can transform lives and change nations. I don't want a small perspective on God. He is limitless, all-powerful. He never sleeps or slumbers. But he's also our Father. Luke 11:11-13. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We're called to ask our Father who will give us good gifts. He will not let us down. So when Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:9 to pray our Father in heaven, he is telling us this, that we're coming to the prayer-hearing God who is majestic and merciful. He is high, but he also dwells with the contrite, you and me. He is a king, and he is also our Father. He is holy, but he also humbles himself. He's far above us, but he comes to you and me. And the next part I want to focus on, where it says, hallowed be your name. Hallowed meaning sacred, holy, set apart, first place, transcendent. And this really is our prayer in everything, that hallowed be his name. May your name, Father, be hallowed in my life. May I reflect your greatness in my friendships, in my marriage. Hallowed be your name. May you get all the praise and glory in my street, in my town, in my nation. May you be reverenced, honoured, esteemed. I think that Sally prayed that at some point, you know, that God's fame would be renowned, would be across our towns, across this nation, treasured above all things. And this is the supreme call on your life and mine, that the Father may be hallowed and through us. Hallowed be your name. I mentioned the breathtaking times and the mundane, the glorious and the distinctly average, the supreme and the nitty-gritty. And our Father, our Heavenly Father, wants us to call on Him daily for our daily bread, to call out for Him for help, for deliverance, to deliver us from evil, to help us in our relational challenges, to know forgiveness and therefore know the peace of God. This is what God the Father calls us to. It's about the now. It's about your life and it's about my life. But it is about so much more. God made you and made me to be a part of hallowing His name, extending God's kingdom. His will being done on earth as it is in heaven. We're to play a part. I want to remind you and I want to remind myself not to lose sight of God's greatness. Because when we do, we get stuck in the mundane, in the daily bread stuff. Of course, keep praying for our daily bread and deliverance, for God to meet my needs and your needs. But let's keep our gaze on something far, far greater that says, hallowed be your name. So don't just get caught up in prayers of petition. Absolutely do that. Pray for our needs and one another's needs. But let's get caught up, and that prophetic word can help us. God's alive, right? He comes and speaks to us. Let's get caught up in the big picture of God, seeing more of God in our lives and around our lives. And the next bit I want to talk about is our Father. And you know there are places in the Bible where we're called to pray in secret. And in fact, that's what Jesus said almost immediately before he instructs the disciples, this is how to pray. He says this just a couple of verses earlier. When you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to the Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So we must get before God on our own. But I want to point out here, and this is really more of the emphasis of what I'm talking about this morning, is something far bigger. It says, our Father. We are called to something far bigger than ourselves. We are a people, the family of God. We're a people on the move. We're the community of God. So it makes absolute sense for the church to come and pray. Last week, Joe preached, and he said, we need one another. We do need one another. Not just because it's a good strap line and keeps us all nice and tight. It's because that's the way God has planned it. It's biblical. That's what He's got for us. In the book of Acts, the early church, on the move, they prayed together. A few of the followers are thrown into prison. They gather and pray together. It says they prayed with one accord. So when we come together to pray, it can be an awesome thing. A sense of God is amongst us. We're in this together. When we come together, whether it's in a grace group or it's an informal meeting, an informal thing with a few of you, God is in our midst. But when we come together, like nights like tonight, when you pray, I pray. A few weeks back, I'm in an elders meeting with the fellas, and like, we're going to pray. And like, oh, right, yeah, we're going to pray. Of course we're going to pray. And I thought, right, I'm not quite up to speed just this minute. God, you've put me here. You've put me here to pray with these guys, shoulder to shoulder, standing together like a rugby scrum. I don't know where I quite fit in that scrum. But anyway, you know what I mean. We're in this together. And I remind myself of who I am before God, a child of God. I raise the bar. I remind myself of who God is, the King of Kings above all things, my Saviour and our Saviour. I'm not always thinking, hallowed be your name in that moment, but that's what's going on. I'm saying it's about God. It's not about me. It's not even about the team. It's not even about us as a church. But we come together to see God's name raised up. And prayer meetings is where the battles are won. We're entering into, that's a bit tricky, spiritual battles together. So when you pray, I'm praying. Not like a religious amen. Amen, well done. I'm joining in with you. But a heartfelt agreement. Another person's prayer of faith stirs me. Again, I'm in a prayer meeting and someone prays. I'm going, oh yeah, amen. Now, if I'm at home tonight, now look, let me just say, I've got to say it right now. I do want you to be here tonight, but of course, not all of us can be here. I get that for all sorts of different reasons. So there's no guilt or shame or anything if you can't be there. But when we come together, not just about tonight, other times, it's like I'm stirred by your prayer or someone else's prayer. I go, yes, amen, God can do this. We hold on to each other in the fiercest of battles. We all play a part. A new person joins. They join the rugby scrum. We'll fit them in somewhere. We'll help them. When we join, others join in, we help them. We have a mediator with the Father, don't we? Jesus. We can come to Jesus at any time. We can come to the Father at any time. With absolute total confidence. Jesus has made a way. But you know, you and I, we can also carry other people into the presence of God. Come with me. Come on, let's pray. You know those moments when someone prays and your heart rises, this gift of faith, God at work. And of course, there are times when we're going to pray through a list of stuff because we want God to move. We want God to answer some big stuff in our lives and in the life of the church, in our nation and beyond. Let's do the hard work. But God is amongst us and he wants us to experience him. He wants it to be tangible. And like 9 or 10 days ago, we had a Grace Group leaders evening. And we talked some stuff, whatever, but we prayed. And when we prayed, just like today with Sally's word, God came and spoke. I don't want to miss those moments. I want to be like FOMO, fear of missing out, right? Well, there's lots of things out there that it's good you miss out on. But I don't want to miss out on the activity of God when I can be there. So we gathered, and then the word came from the book of Ezekiel. The river of God was ankle deep, then knee deep, then up to the waist, and then deeper, deep enough to swim in. And this is where the life is. This is where God is leading us. You can see the connection to some of the things Sally was bringing. We're going deep into God. It didn't say, the clever ones who've learnt the swimming over there, you can go into the deep stuff. No, us as a church, you and me, whatever your background, however long you've been a Christian, for us as Grace Church. Another word came that our conversations, the things that we talk about, the things that matter to us, there'd be a growing sense that those conversations would be God-centered, not the weather or other things. You can still talk about the weather. But God will be at the heart of it. Prophetic moments where God comes and speaks. And then another point through the Lord's Prayer is this. When we come together, it says, Our Father. There's an encounter. There's you and me engaging with our Father. It starts with an encounter. And so we don't start our prayer meetings. Well, what should we do? We've got an hour and a half. Let's do 15 minutes. We'll sing a song or two. It's not that. We're encountering God. We're fixing our eyes on the King of Kings. We're hallowing his name. We remind ourselves that nothing is impossible for God. We speak back. We sing back the promises of his word. It starts with an encounter. And sometimes, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I do it from time to time. And I often think about the comparison between our prayer nights and our come and worship nights. And hopefully you've all been to some of those. And I think, I'm pretty confident, that the come and worship nights are more popular. And I get that, and I really look forward to them. I think, yeah, this is going to be great. You know, the music's great, the atmosphere, you know, and singing's lovely, isn't it? When we're singing praise to God. But I really think there shouldn't be loads of difference. We're going to encounter God in our come and worship, and we're going to encounter God when we come and pray, and when we worship before we pray. We're beckoned into the Father's presence. God communes with us in conscious, reciprocal love, love which He initiated. He made a way through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? And He promised the Holy Spirit to each one of us who believes. God offers to us joy unspeakable. Now, I know I've had loads of times where it hasn't felt like that. When I've closed the door and I'm praying, I haven't come out of there thinking, joy unspeakable. Well, I was distracted 17 times in that 10 minutes. You know, we all have that. You know, let's be real. But there are times, aren't there? And some of us love praying on our own because that's where we meet with God. And some of us, it's more in a smaller setting and others in the bigger setting. What I'd say is, wherever that place is, get there because we want to encounter God and know Him better. When we come to pray, we can expect God to change us. We ask for daily bread and we get the Father in heaven. We can really expect to encounter God when we pray together or where we come and worship together. And what do we pray? Verse 10 says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Last week, we looked at being a people living in exile, living in Babylon. And don't be surprised when people of Babylon live like Babylonians. It's not a surprise, is it? And they make Babylonian-type decisions that suit them best. But that doesn't mean we just go, oh, well, let's just hide in the corner, pray for each other, we'll survive it. No, we stand firm. In all the desperation that is out there, we stand firm and we pray. Jeremiah urged the people of God, those Israelites, he urged them to pray for the city and the prosperity of the city. And that is what we're to do. And I don't think that means, you know, that the government have got loads of money. What's the prosperity? It's a change of heart. You can see why the Lord's Prayer is so much more than a recital. Your kingdom come looks different from one generation to the next, from one geographical location to the next. I imagine your kingdom come prayer is different in the Ukraine to the UK at this time. It will be different if you, no one here would have lived in it, but the Enlightenment time when, you know, science was taking over and all that. The prayer of the Christians will be different to what they are for us today. We have huge kingdom come needs in our nation. We're being pushed back in lots of ways. We live in a nation, really, that's lost, confused, bewildered. Our schools need the kingdom of God to be established right in the heart of schools. We need kingdom of God people to rise up and have a voice in education. Not just our kids getting through the week, getting through the year, but a sense of the power of God being released in these places. Jeremiah urged the people of God to pray for the prosperity. And we're to do that. Prosperity, that things go well, yes, of course. But young lives are turned around. Yeah. Totally turned around. Wouldn't it be amazing? You know, it has happened in the past where revival has come to schools and universities. Let's come and pray for such big things as that. The peace of God instead of anxiety. What is an epidemic of anxiety? You know, we all know that and have heard that and, you know, we know of stuff. Identity in Christ instead of insecure and doubts about sexuality. Real sense of, no, I know who I am in Christ. And, you know, loads of things, loads of other decisions. Let's pray into those things that God might raise up women and men for a time like this. You and I were born at this time, live in this place because God placed you and I here together. We want to see justice prevail. We want to see acts of kindness, but we want to step in the gap where there's injustice. The church, you and me, standing in the gap, coming together, asking God to raise up men and women, to use you and I as stars that shine in a crooked generation. They're the kingdom of God things to pray and more. The church, that's you and me, can change the atmosphere where we live and where we work and where we hang out, in our streets, change the temperature in our offices. The kingdom of God on earth is so much to pray for. Many people getting baptized, many people getting saved, tens and twenties and fifties and hundreds. The kingdom of God coming on earth. The young and the old, we've seen it. We've prayed and we've seen glimpses. People young getting baptized and people very old getting baptized. We've seen finances being released because we're coming and we're praying. Totally unchurched people getting baptized and our church kids growing up and getting baptized. But there's more, isn't there? You and I both know there is so much more and we want so much more in God. And I'm going to finish with this bit. We need the Holy Spirit. You know, I get distracted like I'm sure you do in prayer. And I need the Holy Spirit to help me, not just to get, you know, avoid distraction, obviously. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We run dry, don't we? We get overwhelmed with the needs around us, our own needs and the needs of people around us. We get a little bit lukewarm sometimes. We can find prayer a bit of a chore, lose a bit of faith, lose a bit of hope, even give up. Excuse me. We need the anointing and the equipping of the Holy Spirit. In Jude, verse 21, near the end of the Bible, it says, pray in the Spirit. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit interceded for God's people in accordance with the will of God. We long for a move of God, the coming of his glorious kingdom. And I'm no historian, as you all know, but a move of God is almost always precluded by an awakening of the church, which is almost always born in prayer. That's just the way God does things. And he might do it differently, and he might have done it differently, I don't know at all, obviously. But that seems to be a bit of a pattern. And so I want to encourage you to pray. I'm saying this as much to me as any of you. I want to come and pray. I do love praying sometimes. And I do want my fault, every fault. It's yours, God. You know, like I wake in the morning, God, what's in front of me? Like, you know, sometimes I find it easier to pray lying down on a pillow. But it's God hears that. You know, and all the thoughts, I want to be in your presence the minute I get up, the minute I go to bed. And I'm sure you do too. Maybe tonight you might come for the first time. I would encourage it, because we're going to encounter God. But maybe the next time, and maybe in your grace group, let's lift the bar, let's raise the temperature whenever we gather. Raise the temperature when you close the door and it's just you. We need the Holy Spirit. Let's come and worship him. Hallow the name of the Father. Give him all the praise. Can we just stand, please? I'd like us, going from here, you know, many of us have heard many talks on prayer. And so nothing I've said is new. I'm absolutely certain of that. But maybe look for places, opportunities to pray. You know, when you're just chatting to someone and they tell you of a need, Let's start to change how we process that. Oh, that's really bad. I'm really sorry about that. You can say that for sure. Let's show empathy and kindness and love. Can I pray for you? Let's prayer be right at the front of our agenda, in our heads, in our thinking. And it wouldn't be right to finish a talk on prayer without praying. And so, just for a couple of minutes, I don't think we do this too often, but can we raise our voices? And some of us, it might be just a whisper. Some, it might be just our thoughts in our head to God. And others, a bit louder, which is all fine. Any level is all fine. But let's pray right now for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on your own life, on your brothers and sisters' lives, upon the church right across Grace Church and the church beyond. So let's pray for the Holy Spirit to come amongst us.